VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As usual, friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Well, it happened. It happened on CBS's 60 Minutes broadcast, September 18th, 2022, a declaration from President Joe Biden that the pandemic is over.
Mr. President, first Detroit auto show in 3 years.
Yeah.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape. And so I think it's changing, and I think this is a perfect example of it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, while the White House is again backpedaling from Mr. Biden's comments, our guest today is saying that it's high time to end both the emergency declarations and the emergency use authorizations. Joining us today, we welcome back Twyla Braze, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse, a certified public health nurse, author of the 8-time award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's the speaker on the Daily Health Freedom Minute, heard on stations across the nation. Additionally, her efforts have led to a national law requiring parent consent for research using newborn DNA, a national campaign exposing HIPAA as a data sharing rule, an online nationwide directory of direct pay practices, the Wedge of Health Freedom, and the Patient Toolbox designed to help patients understand their options in coercive situations and maintain control over their treatment decisions. Twyla, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, I'm so glad to be back here. Thanks, Jim.
So, Twyla, were you surprised to hear the president's declaration that the pandemic is over? I know the White House was surprised.
Yes, the White House was very surprised, and there it was on 60 Minutes, right, for all the world to see. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, when you ask a question, you're in a comfortable spot, you get asked a question, you just say what your mind really thinks. And I believe that is completely what Joe Biden really thinks. I mean, look how long he talked about it and said it again, you know, the pandemic is over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he totally believes that.
Well,
and now the White House is left to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I'm going to be hearing a clip in a little bit about them. But if indeed the pandemic is over, as he said, what are the ramifications to, like, emergency orders on matters that, you know, cover many issues, even like the recent cancellation of student loans? If it's over, what's the ramifications there?
Yes. So if it's over, there are things that go away, like the emergency use authorizations. And, you know, I don't think that your listeners probably understand how many emergency use authorizations there are. And I'll just say that when you have an emergency use authorization under COVID here, that's how we've gotten the mandates of these things that have emergency use authorization. So if we don't have a pandemic anymore and they lift the emergency declaration, then these emergency use authorizations would go away. And so there are emergency use authorizations, or EUAs, on all the injections. So whether it's Moderna or Pfizer or whomever, all of them have EUAs. There are EUAs on masks. There are EUAs on, oh, now it has just skipped my brain. But whatever it is, there's a lot of different things that there are emergency use authorizations, and they are being imposed, like masks. Oh, yeah, testing. That's another one, testing. They're being imposed, even though they may not work well, they haven't been fully tested, you know, whatever. But they're being imposed, they're being mandated. And they couldn't be mandated if they were no longer authorized.
So you're talking the shots, you're talking all the shots, I mean, and the boosters. And
all the shots.
And the shots for teens, and the shots for kids, and the shots for virtually newborns.
Yeah. All of those are emergency use authorized. And so if there is no emergency anymore, right, they'd have to go through the regular way to prove that they actually work, but not only that they work, but that they're safe. You know, in this latest booster, right, that which is actually just a vaccination with a different name. So this way, or an injection, right? But anyway, so it hasn't even been pride on humans. The humans trials don't begin until sometime this month. Now, we're at the end of this month, but that's what they said it would happen this month. So maybe they have begun them. We don't actually know. But the fact of the matter is they injected eight mice, and those mice got antibodies, a significant rise in antibodies, and that's the extent of what we have. And so there's no safety data. There's just the fact that eight mice got antibody increases. And on the basis of that, they're going around the country, you know, with this booster. And, you know, in the hospital situation where the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it was okay to mandate the injections for the staff, now there's another injection that can be mandated, namely the booster.
Twyla, it's very interesting with this. I mean, the Department of Health and Human Services also reeling from what Mr. Biden said, and they came out and said, well, that the public health emergency will not be lifted. And by the way, we'll give you a 60-day notice to states before any possible termination of expiration there. So, I mean, always at least 60 days out before these emergency orders would ever be lifted.
Yes, and so, you know, who's in charge? You know, who's running the show, right? I would say it's not Biden, it's his staff, and he's probably backed off, and he'll probably will tell reporters you can't ask those questions anymore and try to get the reporters to, you know, not do that sort of thing, which they only have so much control, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the emergency is not lifted, so there are other things that are happening because of the emergency. For instance, the student loans. So there are, they pushed back the requirement to pay off your student loans to December to start the payoff until December because of the emergency. Well, if there's no emergency, people are going to have to start paying them off, you know, right away. Those that haven't been, you know, relieved of their student loan by Biden's further and by Congress's further legislation, you know, dropping that for, you know, some people. But so I think, you know, there's lots of other things in all this COVID legislation. There's lots of money, lots and lots and lots of money. There's money to hospitals. Hospitals are going after COVID funds. You know, there's a big scandal here in Minnesota, which is where I'm located, about all the money that went to this, I think it was like Food for Families and the Department of Education. It was a complete scam. There's people already in jail for it. So, you know, once you have all these millions and billions of dollars going for COVID, nobody wants to shut off the spigot.
Right.
Right? Well, and it's shut off if they lift the emergency.
And no wonder why there's so much backpedaling going on at the White House. And I'd like to play this clip now with the White House press secretary. This is Karine Jean-Pierre. And these were comments that she made on MSNBC shortly after Mr. Biden declared the pandemic over. Here's what she had to say.
Also in the 60 Minutes interview said that the pandemic is over. There's been quite a bit of pushback to that statement by the president. Where is he today on that?
So just to step back for a second, what we saw during that interview, 60-minute interview, when he made those comments, he was walking through the Detroit car show, the halls of the Detroit car show, and he was looking around. We have to remember the last time that they had held that event was 3 years ago. Even as we're talking about UNGA, the president's going to speak shortly, as I just mentioned, that hasn't been held in person for about 3 years as well. So we are in a different time. He's been very consistent about that. And the reason why is because we are now prepared. We are now ready. We know how to deal with this pandemic. It is now more manageable. It's not as disruptive as it's been in the prior years. And so, and it is because of what this president has done on day one. If you think about where we were when he walked in, 3,000 people were dying a day. That has come down 90%. You think about schools were closed, now schools are open. Think about businesses were closed, now businesses are open. And it's because of the work that this administration has done. Now, what he has been very consistent about is that we have to continue to have a front foot on this so we have the funding so that we are ahead of this, of any other, you know, as we look at future vaccines and future treatments, we need to make sure that we are ready for that as we're also leading, as we're talking the backdrop of UNGA. agenda as we're leading globally as well.
Now, Twyla, I didn't hear the president say any of those things as he was going to that at the Detroit Car Show. But in essence, she's saying, well, you know, the president really didn't mean what he said when he declared the pandemic over.
No, that's right. That's exactly what she's saying. She's saying, you know, we're at a better time, right? But what is not over, we have to keep the money going. We have to this, we have
right,
to that.
Right.
You know, the president was very clear that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look around. It's over. Right. But the administration does not want it to be over. And, you know, there are so many reasons they don't want it to be over, such as just all of the control that they have amassed under COVID. So, you know, all these COVID controls, right? And even though they say, you know, she says businesses are open. Yeah, well, not the businesses that all died.
Right.
Not all those businesses. And then there's still schools that are mandating masks, even though the administration itself says that masks do not work. Cloth masks, medical masks, they don't work against COVID. COVID is airborne. It's aerosolized. And then young children, they don't get COVID in a way that, you know, harms them. And young children are actually supposed to be the better part of herd immunity, because they'll get it and it doesn't harm them. And then more and more people, the virus doesn't have people to go to, right? And so there's not things that are over as she's saying them. She's like glossing over, you know, everything that has transpired under the Biden administration, the lawsuits, you know, against people who wanted to get out from under the mask at the hospital. What's happening to the hospitals? All sorts of people have left the hospitals, have quit the hospitals because they're done with masks. They're not going to come back. They're not going to live under a mask for that long anymore. They need to breathe free, right? But that's continuing. That's not been lifted. He hasn't lifted that for any of the hospitals.
Right, and so much more. And Twyla, you mentioned a word, and that word is control. And there's a lot of control that has been put in, a lot of personal freedom that has been impacted through these emergency declarations. And it's not just come from the White House. I mean, we have seen many state governors take that same kind of control and have wielded that control over the people of their state or their communities.
Yes, I think, you know, the fact of the matter is that the federal government is very limited into what they can impose.
Mm-hmm.
However, they can encourage, they can send out these statements, and then governors who want to seize that kind of control have that as a backup. And that's exactly how it has worked, because the president and the administration cannot impose masks on schools. They can't impose masks on anything. They did it through the FAA, you know, for the airlines. And even that, I think there still might be, there were six lawsuits, but there still might be that many lawsuits that are continuing forward and trying to stop the president from ever being able to do that again.
Well, Twyla, there have been a number of draconian actions, and we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to play a clip from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who he justified the lockdowns, justified the actions, even said that they were draconian, but basically it was all necessary for the common good. You're going to hear from him in just a moment on Crosstalk. Stay with us. Twyla Braze is with us, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has evolutionary science been useful to the world?
Chris, you'd be surprised. Evolutionists say that evolution undergirds all of biology, and yet no truly helpful discovery has come from evolution. It is true that many evolutionists have made amazing discoveries, but these are based on scientific observation of the way things are. How they originated is a different question. It seems to me that if evolution were really a theory of everything, as they claim, then it ought to be obvious. They shouldn't have to rely on silly evolutionary stories to make us believe it. Face it, evolution is unbelievable because it's simply not true. Most people are not gullible enough to think that a frog changed into a prince. Creation is a much better answer, and we learn that when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. Twyla Braze is with us today from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. And Twyla, you've got a load of resources on your website.
Yes, we do. We've got the patient toolbox when you're dealing with coercion in the exam room. We've got the COVID-19 quick reference guide, which talks of everything from how the illness actually works. It's not really a virus. It's not, it is a virus. It's not really an infection. It's more of a clotting disease. You know, we've got all of that. We've got my book now, the third printing of Big Brother in the Exam Room is out and available. It hasn't been available for about a year and a half or two, but I added an index, so that's available online, and there's baby DNA and, you know, finding out how long your state stores the blood of newborns. So there's all those kind of resources.
Okay, again, folks, the website is cchfreedom.org. Twyla, we were talking, if indeed this pandemic is over, you know, all these emergency use authorizations have to say bye-bye, you know, and all the emergency orders and something else. But you're concerned that they may keep this on even for other reasons, this emergency order as well.
Yes, I you know, you got to watch their language. And so the new language that I'm seeing pop up has to do with the emergency of long COVID. So people who had COVID, either mild cases or significant cases, and they survived, but it's not right yet. They've got brain fog, they've got headaches, they've got muscle aches, they're laying in bed, they're, you know, extensive fatigue, gut issues. There's more than 200 different symptoms of people who have long COVID, racing hearts, high blood pressure, you know. There's all sorts of things. And so now what they're saying is that about 20% of people who have had COVID have long COVID, and that's about 16 million people, according to the CDC, if they can be believed. But there's about 2 to 4 million people who are no longer working as a result of long COVID. Now, the really interesting thing for me about this is how long COVID could have been prevented with the use of early treatment. And they've got all this money now for long COVID. There's $1.15 billion for research, and all these long COVID centers are popping up. But for me, for anybody who's got long COVID, you need to look for a doctor who is treating it right from the beginning. Because these centers that are popping up aren't necessarily going to give you the best, the right treatment for long COVID. That's what you'll get at like the FLCCC.net and their long COVID protocols, or the doctors around who've been treating it, who've been ousted from their hospitals. That's where you have to go. Not where all that research money is going or all the long COVID money is going, because I don't believe they're ever going to use ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of the other things that COVID care doctors have been using since the beginning. But we could have not had all these people with long COVID if they had been treated correctly. And so it's like, this was created. This was created. It was criminal, you know, to do this, to deprive people of drugs that could actually help them survive COVID, but not only that, never end up with long COVID. You know, disabling long COVID. It's not disabling for everybody, but it is for some people, and it's difficult. It makes life more difficult for others. It's not disabling. But so I think that's a way that they're going to try to keep the crisis moving, the emergency on.
Well, friends, just a programming note here. Lord willing, this coming Thursday, Dr. Elizabeth Lee-Valit will be with us, and we'll be conducting a full program just on this topic of long COVID, and would encourage you to be tuning in on Thursday. Twyla, we were talking about, you know, the heavy hand of government, the control aspect, and we've seen some pretty draconian actions taken by the White House, and I'd like to play a clip from Anthony Fauci, who spoke last Wednesday. I understand this is audio from The Atlantic, in which Fauci justified the lockdowns, justified the actions taken, even though he acknowledged they were draconian. Here is Anthony Fauci as he spoke.
When you have a divisiveness in society where every time you say something, you have X number of people with social media immediately looking to attack it, that adds to the understandable confusion when you're dealing with an evolving outbreak. So what you were saying, specific to your question, of course when you make recommendations, if the primary goal when you're dealing with a situation where the hospitals were being overrun in New York, intensive care units We're being put in hallways. You have to do something that's rather draconian. And sometimes when you do draconian things, it has collateral negative consequences. Just like when you shut things down, even temporarily, it does have deleterious consequences on the economy, on the school children. You know that. But you have to make a balance. When you're dealing with, we know the only way to stop something cold in its tracks is to try and shut things down. If you shut things down just for the sake of it, that's bad. But if you do it with the purpose of being able to regroup so that you can then open up in a more safe way, that's the best way to do it.
Oh, I get it, Twyla. The ends justify the means.
Ooh, he's so smooth. You know, but the interesting thing is they never stopped it cold. They never stopped it cold.
Mm-hmm.
It just kept going and going. And so, you know, when you look at Dr. Birx's book called The Silent Invasion, it becomes very clear that she didn't know what she was doing. She came up with this, you know, 15 days, and she got the Trump administration to do it, even though she wanted more, and even though she didn't know if it would work or wouldn't work. But it was all a violation of our biggest law, which is the Constitution of the United States and the individual rights to live free, to congregate freely, for churches to be free, you know, all of this. So he's just like forgetting the Constitution, forgetting the rights of the people, forgetting about using persuasion. You know, I have always said persuasion over coercion. And, you know, what we have found here is lots of people would have probably done a variety of things under persuasion, and a lot of people wouldn't, but we would have been in a country that still had an economy, right? We wouldn't have had the supply crises probably across the globe, you know, and all of this fear-mongering and all of these people going after each other and living in fear. You know, And then I just think about how very early, very, very early, he mentioned chloroquine as being a possible way to treat COVID. And then he left it behind, and it was all about vaccination, all about an experimental drug, and how everybody had to have that, and all of the impositions of control, which I think, you know, when I really think about it, I think they just kept grabbing power as they saw they could. They didn't believe they could actually get it. Then they got it, and they went further and further and further. And he's trying to rationalize this as being okay. And it was never okay. It was never okay under our laws. It was just, it was never okay.
Twyla, you mentioned about the shot here, and I've got just a brief clip here, too, of Christine Anderson, a German member of the European Union, speaking at the European Parliament, and one of our listeners brought this to my attention, but she called the vaccine campaign the biggest scandal in medical history. Here's what she had to say.
This vaccine campaign, it will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history, and moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity.
Pretty forceful words.
Very forceful words. You know, there have been lots of crimes. This vaccine, which is actually just a therapy, you know, a vaccine actually stops something. It stops it. You never get it. Well, that is not what this is. It's some sort of therapy. It's got all sorts of safety signals, which means it's unsafe. The VAERS reporting system, vaccine adverse events reporting system, the numbers are sky high compared to the last 30 years of reporting on any other vaccine. So there's lots of death and disability coming from this vaccination, but people are being forced into it, or they lose their jobs. They might lose access to their family member, a child. They might not get surgery. They won't get a transplant. You know, it is a crime. It's a complete crime. And it was foisted upon not only the United States, but the globe. And so it is heartening to hear people in other countries. And I feel like there's multiple crimes in here, right? The vaccine mandate is a crime. The prohibition on access to ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. In other words, the prohibition on life-saving medications. That's a crime. The money that encouraged hospitals to put people on ventilators where only 10% survived, that's a crime. You know, there's so many crimes. And it's so good to hear her very strong words about this crime against humanity.
Twyla Bray's with us today. Again, the website, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, the CEO of Pfizer, Anthony Bourla, just announced this past Saturday he tested positive for COVID-19 again. This is now less than 2 months after a previous infection. We understand he's had 4 shots of the mRNA, but caught COVID twice. How can this happen?
Because it's not a vaccine. You know, that's the deal. It's not, it doesn't stop anything. It might help some people. It doesn't help others. And because any protection that it has rapidly wanes. You know, there was a study out maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, maybe it was a little longer than that, that just talked about the difference between the vaccination and people with natural immunity. And one of the striking things that it said is that the effectiveness of the vaccine wanes rapidly, very rapidly, whereas natural immunity for those who have gotten COVID, you know, whether they've gotten it and taken ivermectin or gotten it and you know, not never taken ivermectin, that wanes very slowly. And I think, you know, the other really interesting study talks about people who got COVID, both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And people who got COVID and were vaccinated, only 40% of them had produced antibodies. Only 40%. These are the vaccinated who get COVID. For the unvaccinated who get COVID, 93% of them produced antibodies. And that may be a reason why this new study just came out, you know, in the last week, I think, where it just talks about the likelihood of somebody who has had COVID, so somebody who has had natural immunity, you know, dying or being hospitalized is almost zero. It's so effective. You might still get another infection, but you won't end up in the hospital or dying from it because natural immunity is so much more effective.
Twyla, I know there are still many who are losing their jobs as a result of refusing the jab. Last Thursday, LifeSite News ran a story that the National Guard set to discharge nearly 14,000 guardsmen for refusing to take the mandatory jab. I mean, this, by the way, when recruitment is just falling far short.
Right.
And then there's another headline. New York City fires another 850 teachers for refusing COVID jab. All of these actions just seem to indicate that we're purposefully trying to collapse our system, whether it be militarily, educationally, in health and medicine, you name it.
It's become a national security crisis, you know, because we need our military. And there's a whole bunch of people that they're not going to go in there because they see what's happening, right? We need our firefighters. We need our nurses. We need all these sorts of people. And they're telling them, you know, take this, you know, take the risk or lose everything.
Well, friends, Twyla Braze is with us. We're going to have just a little bit more discussion before we open phone lines here today. And I want you to be hearing the testimony of a pediatric nurse who testified just recently in San Diego. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Erwin Lutzer has authored the books The Church in Babylon and We Will Not Be Silenced. And now the brand new book, No Reason to Hide, which is 58% off this month at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. We live in an evil culture, but this book is not written to reclaim the culture, but to reclaim the church and its authority to stand for righteousness in the midst of a collapsing culture. Each chapter ends with a hero we can celebrate and an action step we can take. If you don't want to create a stir, kind of live and let live, then you don't need to read this book. But for the rest of us, Dr. Lutzer's new book, No Reason to Hide, is 58% off through September 30th, only at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. Order now by calling 888-722-4829 or by shopping online at vcy.com. The number again is 888-722-4829, and our website is vcy.com.
We'll be right back.
The program you're tuned to is Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday afternoon at this time on the VCY America Network. Twyla Braes is our guest today. She is the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And you can learn more about them. And they've got many, many articles, links, helpful articles, so many stories and issues to guide you through many of the matters we're talking about today. CCHfreedom.org. I have one more audio clip I want to play on today's program, and this is a pediatric nurse who worked in the cardiovascular intensive care unit who was dismissed because she would not take the jab. And this is her testimony earlier this month. It was September 13th. She spoke before the San Diego County Board of Supervisors. This is not what she planned to say. I guess she had some written testimony, but she was just overwhelmed at what she had experienced. And here's what she had to say.
Ms. Toni Bittner, I came before you guys a year ago. I'm a nurse, or at least I was, at Rady Children's in the cardiovascular intensive care unit until Nathan and his misinformation pandemic caused me to lose my job. I took care of those children who came in with myocarditis after the vaccine. And I talked to the doctors because I was a charge nurse saying, why aren't we reporting these to theirs? Who is going to report these to theirs? It was an unspoken thing that we were not allowed to talk about openly on the unit. I've worked for 13 years in this community, taking care of some of the sickest patients. The day before I was taken away from my position, I was actively giving compressions to a child, pushing Abby, pushing calcium into his veins to keep him alive. And we did. And he went home. And yet, I was ridiculed by those who were supposed to be my colleagues and my friends. I am the face of your misinformation campaign, Nathan. I am the one who lost my career in pediatric cardiovascular ICU care. I took care of children who had COVID. I never got COVID in the hospital. I tested twice a week. I wore my PPE because I loved my job. And I loved this community.
Thank you. Her time is up. 2 minutes. Heart-rending, Twyla.
Right. And I'm a pediatric nurse. I was in the emergency room, but I would have been in her position because I would not also have been forced to do such a thing. And what a stunning testimony of hers to actually give them real-life things, you know, pushing calcium into the vein to save the patient's life. And the patient goes home, and then she's fired.
Yeah.
You know, right? She's fired. But, you know, when I listen to this, or when I listen to that one pilot who talked about how he can't fly safely anymore, right? These things that are happening, these are the hope. You know, it could have been that our entire country just obeyed, that we just obeyed. We just threw down every right that we had. But we didn't do that. And then not only that, so we stood up as a fortress, a small fortress, nonetheless, just saying no, 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 no. Whatever happens to me, the answer is no. I'm not going to be forced to do that. I'm not going to take a foreign thing into my body and risk my own life and my family's life. And, you know, I'm not going to do that. Now, if we had all obeyed, we wouldn't be talking here, right? And we didn't. And that is the wonder of this country. And that is the hope for this country, because some people, I've had lots of people who have taken the jab, and they now wish that they wouldn't have. They wish that they'd known more. They wish they'd thought harder. They wish they'd fought harder.
You know,
so this is, heartening.
She cared for those injured by the jab too, and children, you know, injured by the jab, and she talked about reporting. Who's going to report this to VAERS? And it was kind of like, no, you're not allowed to talk about these things on the floor. I mean, and we see these VAERS numbers, and they're staggering. But we know that only a portion of adverse events are actually reported to the system.
That's right. And, you know, when I saw a tweet, I think, of this woman's testimony, somebody said, well, something like, well, honey, you could report it. And, you know, that person doesn't understand even what reporting VAERS is like. So she's a nurse. She's on the unit. She thinks it should be reported to this system. It takes a half an hour to an hour to report each case on that system. It's very bureaucratic. It's very difficult. I've heard it's very tough. You think she was given time to do that for her patients? Probably not, right? She's got to take care of patients. But she's worried that somebody, nobody, is reporting this to the system. And so it does take time. It does take, and apparently the hospitals, a lot of the hospitals, maybe they aren't dedicating anyone to doing it, and they don't want their nurses and doctors to do it.
Twyla, you know, here she is, a pediatric nurse, and I saw a very troubling story that came out Sunday from the expose that reported the mortality numbers coming out of Europe showed a shocking 691% increase in excess deaths among children up into the 33rd week of 2022 since the European Medicines Agency extended this emergency use authorization there for the COVID-19 vaccine for children. That was ages 12 to 15, May 2021. And then they talk also about a shocking 755% increase in excess deaths among children ages 0 to 14 in 2022 so far. Something's not ringing right here.
No, and the media is not talking about it. Right, so the first time we ever heard about excess deaths in America came from an insurance company called, I think it was America One or One America, I can't quite remember. And they're just life insurance, and they just have statistics. And they had a 41% increase in working age adults, so 18 to 64. And they're like, this is like a never event. Like, you wouldn't expect to have this happen in 200 years. Mm-hmm. You know, what's happening here? And it started all in, I believe, early 2021. And as you know, the vaccines began in December of 2020.
Is it any wonder that one of the UK's most eminent cardiologists, Dr. Asim Malhotra, recently said, quote, there is a strong scientific, ethical, and moral case to be made that COVID-19 vaccine rollout must stop immediately until raw data has been released for fully independent scrutiny? I mean, there are many who are waking up to this, Twyla, but sadly, it's too late for many.
Right. Way too late for many. And this is one of the reasons why the emergency use authorizations have to be lifted along with the emergency. And you have to wonder about the Pfizer, the CEO of Pfizer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he really have them? Do we really know if he really had them? Did he have saline? Did he have, you know, what did he have?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know if he did, because he knows more about his product and the fact that it didn't go through what it needed to go through to actually be proven safe. He knows that. He knows about all those Pfizer papers, right? The ones they wanted to hide for 75 years. He knows about all the results that they're finding in those papers. And so one has to wonder if he was actually even injected.
Twyla Brace with us today. Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. And Twyla, while we're waiting for the first calls to come in, you recently wrote to Governor Gavin Newsom regarding legislation passed in their state legislature, AB 2098, to silence physicians. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, what a terrible law coming out of California, and hopefully the governor does not sign it. He has until September 30th, and what it would say is that any doctor who provided misinformation or disinformation on COVID, so any doctor who didn't follow the government, you know, narrative, the status quo for how they're supposed to talk about vaccines or COVID or hospitalization or anything, right? Any doctor would and could lose their license. They could be stripped of their license if they chose to speak freely to their patients. And so this is what the legislature passed. I think there was only 9 votes against it. It was terrible. It was sent to the governor's desk about a month ago, and he has until September 30th, you know, to make a decision to pass it, to sign it, or to let it veto it.
Wow, wow. Lines are packed here at Crosstalk. We're going to begin in Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My comment is that this began 2020, which was the year of the census. We have no idea, and they're not allowing it, the information to come out as to how many people actually died. And because of the election coming up, this, that, and the other, they're just trying to keep us in the dark and let the dead people vote.
Okay, that's interesting thought on that matter. Twyla, do you trust numbers, though, that we're getting out of CDC or whomever?
No, the CDC has actually said that they're behind. And, you know, the interesting thing is they're the only one behind. So when we've gotten numbers about deaths, et cetera, or problems, we've mostly gotten them from Israel or we've gotten them from England. The CDC, there's a bunch of data on the, I think it was the 19 to 49 age group that they just absolutely refused to release. They said they didn't have it, then we found out that they did, and they just weren't releasing it because maybe it didn't show what they wanted to show. So, no, I don't trust the data.
We have Barbara calling next. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon. I just wanted to report that there is a family, a very large extended family that I know of here in the state I'm in, and that's the reason I don't want to say the state. It's because I don't want to draw attention to them if they don't want it, you know, if they don't want the attention drawn to them. But in in 28 days, three members of this large family have passed.
Hmm.
And since March, that one would make it four.
My.
And this has to do with rapid onset cancer and with blood clots.
Yes, so rapid onset cancer and blood clots. So if anybody has been listening to Dr. Ryan Cole, who is a pathologist who says he sees 40,000 biopsies a year, he is shocked by the number of cancer diagnoses that are taking place, as well as the rapid onset or reemergence of cancer in some people who have had the vaccine. And then, of course, there's just the clots. So COVID is a clotting disease. It's nothing but a clotting disease. It has its stages, but at the end, that's what kills people. And so you have to keep your body from clotting. And so there's been a lot of clotting abnormalities, a lot of strokes, a lot of heart attacks as a result of COVID and as a result of the spike. And, of course, when you take the injection, you are forcing your body to create spike, which then the government, it's a little interesting because the government has changed the verbiage on their website. The CDC has changed the verbiage. They used to say that the spike, the vaccination went nowhere in the body. But now they actually know it does. It floats in the blood system for at least up to 14 days. And some people are saying much longer than that. And that is what irritates blood vessels, and that's what causes it to clot.
Wow. Barbara, thank you for the call here. We're up against a break. Twyla Bray is our guest. Again, her website, cchfreedom.org. We've got many more callers lined up here, and we'll pick them up after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Do we really understand the worldview war that's taking place? Do we really understand the fact that the number one enemy of the federal government, by their own admission now, has become white, Christian, and constitutional-loving men? They are now deemed to be domestic terrorists, potential domestic terrorists, intolerant. They are said to be suffering from a psychological problem known as toxic masculinity. Why the war on such men? If you want to carry out a successful revolution in a nation, you must first make sure you have no opposition. And if you do, you take it away. These men are the opposition to a Marxist revolution in America, and they are being disparaged and ridiculed in such a way that they cannot be leaders if people conform to the politically correct way of thinking. Let's be aware of the worldview war against men.
And you're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Our guest today is the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, Twyla Braes. And let's head over to New Zealand. We have Joshua calling from New Zealand. Hi, Joshua. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Twyla. I should tell Twyla that I sent this email to her twice and didn't get an answer back. But anyway, it's my question about vaccine shedding. I have heard that people who either recently received the COVID shot or people who have can shed the spike protein and can give the side effects typically associated with the shot, such as Guillain-Barré syndrome to unvaccinated persons, whether it be by breathing it out through skin contact or something else. I have also heard that chlorine dioxide can protect people against vaccine shedding. Could you please tell me about the facts about vaccine shedding, such as is real, how does it work, what kinds of problems a person on the receiving end of vaccine shedding can obtain, and how to protect against vaccine shedding? This would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And I will...
Great. Okay. Yep, we're getting cut-out connection there, Joshua. But, Twyla, he just gave you about an hour-long assignment here.
Yes, but, you know, I guess the one thing I want to say, like, I try not to talk about things that I'm not totally concretely sure of.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard Dr. Robert Malone say that everyone sheds after a vaccine. Every vaccine, they're shedding. And, you know, and this is something he's more involved in and expertise on than I could ever be, right? But the degree of shedding. So he was not particularly concerned about shedding, saying, you know, it's really minimal. So he kind of was dismissive of it. I've heard other people who are more concerned about it. And so I'm not going to say more than that because the facts of the matter, I feel, are still unclear. But Robert Malone has spent a whole lot of time. He's very concerned what's going on, but he's not very concerned about shedding.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for the call. And Zach in River Falls, you're on the air.
Hi, I just had a comment I wanted to make, and I think the one guy that gets overlooked in all this is Mike Pence, the guy that gave the green light for the COVID tyranny, helped usher in this somewhat limited dictatorship, and yet he still has the audacity to run around the country and act like he's working on the or for the good of the people. To me, he's nothing but a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you fooled me once, you're not going to fool me again.
Okay. Thank you for your comment, and I believe the next comment is also going back to that administration. Greg in Tucson, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. Twyla, first of all, thank you. It was you who gave me the understanding that the definition of vaccine changed. It used to be called artificial immunity, and so now they changed. What a lie to change the definition. The other thing I say, Operation Warp Speed, you know, we lay the blame at Pfizer's feet. How about, come on, Donald Trump, too? He bragged about Operation Warp Speed. What do you think of that? Because Republicans are trying their best to cover for him.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
So, you know, the interesting thing about President Trump that I always thought during his administration is that he did not know a lot about health care. And as a result, he had to depend on people who were in his administration or who were chosen for his administration by others. There were a variety of things that I thought, you know, you shouldn't say it that way. You know, like he was all supportive of pre-existing condition protection, but that's actually the cornerstone of the Affordable Care Act and the cornerstone of socialized medicine. So, you know, there are just things. I think that he didn't know and he was trying to get a win and politically, he was our speaker last year. But anyway, so Dr. Scott Atlas, and he says in his book, he really lays the blame at Trump's feet, essentially saying Trump did not use his gut. Like he used his gut for everything else and he'd go with his gut and he'd be the way he was with North Korea and China, and he'd go with his gut. But on this, he didn't. He listened to his political advisors and kept Birx in there when he should have fired her. You know, she would stand up right after him and say the exact opposite thing. You should never have that happen. She should have been fired. So I think there are definitely things, you know, that you can lay at different people's feet. And, of course, Pence, he was the head of the White House task force, and he also let Birx and Fauci do their thing against the president. That shouldn't have happened as well. So, you know, I think there is definitely blame in that camp.
Shirley in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to know if Paxlovid treatment for the virus, is that okay to take?
Well, I'll just say there's a lot of people who have taken it without any problems. It's very expensive. It would probably be cheaper to just take ivermectin. And then Paxlovid or hydroxychloroquine or whatever your COVID care doctor would prescribe. But the other thing about Paxlovid is it tends to rebound, have a rebound. So it's like you use it and then a few days later you get COVID back, which in my opinion means COVID was never really gone. It's not like you get a new case of COVID, right? It didn't work fully. And so that has been something that they've been trying to figure out is how to actually make it work without rebound. So it's probably safe for lots of people. And so you have to make a decision with your doctor.
Okay, thank you. And let's pick up one final call, Ohio. And Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask Twyla about aspirin. She was talking about the clotting. What does it help to take a bare aspirin for the clotting?
Yeah, so if you go to flccc.net, that's three C's, flccc.net, and on the top they've got a menu, and just go to the protocols. And they've got a prevention protocol, they've got an early treatment protocol, they've got a long COVID protocol, they've got a vaccine injury protocol. Pick the protocol that works for you and find what it says about aspirin in there. It is one of the things that is used at different times and different protocols, so check those out.
Okay, again, that's flccc.net. We're out of time, Twyla Braze. Twyla, we got 15 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners?
Well, just come to our website, cchfreedom.org, or give us a call, cchfreedom.org, and find some resources there. Contact us if you need to.
Okay. Well, Twyla, thank you so much for joining us here today. Lots of insightful information you brought to the table, and we appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Twyla Braze with us, and again, Citizens Council for Health Freedom, their website, cchfreedom.org. And friends, again, plan to join us here on Thursday with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete talking about the long COVID. That's the topic scheduled for Thursday. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.